Welcome to Starfleet Universe Uncle. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I run SFB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder on how to join us, we have a talk cast every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either call on the phone, just call 605-562-0444, or in follow the directions, call ID is 17702, or you can participate on the web. Just go to the talk's website at www.talkshoe.com and search for call ID 17702 or Starfleet Universe on call. And of course, we also co-broadcast over on twitch.tv. Just go over there and go to twitch.tv/SFUOnCall, and you can join us there. Join the chat room over there, where there's usually three or four people, possibly even more if you join them. So the more the better. That's the way I see it. I always keep an eye on both chat rooms, but mainly on the Twitch, because that usually has the most activity these days. And, of course, if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. That's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, if you want to follow me on Twitter, my account there is sfuoncall. And that's for the podcast. And my personal one, which is Paul Franz. It's P-A-U-L-F-R-A-N-Z. And just to let you know that if you want to follow me, I'm really happy about being a Catholic. I'm an O's fan, and also I love technology. So if any of those bother you, don't follow me. But by the way, I don't tweet that much, so it's a very quiet Twitter account. Another quiet Twitter account that I also manage, which is Franz Games. Yes, I have one from Franz Games, which is also it's for SFB Online, and also of course Starfleet Warlord and. Possibly something, never know, but something else might come up when it comes to Franz Games. Another opportunity to hawk my wares, I guess. Give information. Anyway, move on. Of course, this lovely talk cast gets turned to a podcast available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. Some quick news from A to B this week. None. Are there going to be any new mini shipways next week? I think not, because I have not seen any indication from A to B that there are new miniatures coming out next week, because it's been all quiet. So, you know, they haven't been promoting any new Shapeways minis. So my assumption at that point is that there are going to be no Shapeways minis next week. Now, that might probably means the week after you'll get Shapeways minis. So just a reminder in that case. And of course, there's plenty of free stuff on the website, including the Federation Commander game called First Mission. This is basically, it's a free copy of the basics of Federation Commander. It's kind of akin to the Cadet Training Manual for SFB, but it's for Federation Commander. So it's very, very limited set of rules, because Lord knows if any of you have know the original Starfleet Battles Designers Edition, those are very limited rules there, and that's the whole idea of First Missions also. Moving on to tournaments. Actually, there is a Masters tournament. If you're hearing this, unfortunately, by the time you hear this, you probably won't be able to participate in it, because the signups are out, and they are... Andrew was saying basically they're going to cut them off on Friday, so I would definitely... If you hear this before the end of the day of Friday, try and get in. Because we got plenty of signups, and any signups that can't be a participant will be basically fill-ins for anyone who happens to drop out during the tournament. So even if they get all filled up, you know, come on, still sign up. Just at the very least, if you get enough, hey, we might even have a larger tournament. When it comes to Sapphire Star 9 tournament, we still haven't heard anything from A to B about moving on to forward with that. When it comes to online client stuff, some quick news from that. I've been working on some minor issues in case of the FedCom portion. I somehow forgot that Adrax can't fire drones. in Federation Commander, that is. SFB, yeah, they can. When it comes to Federation Commander, no. Ad-racks or anti-drones, that's it. So I had to remember to remove it from the ability to drone to launch drones. So that's now done. And then finally, and also moving on to the another thing that I worked on was also that we were missing one of the early years charts, so you couldn't play some of the early years hydrants, you know, because the hell gun was not there. Obviously, you should have the rules, so it shouldn't be a big deal. But obviously, having the chart in the client helps a lot, because one of the features of the client is that you get to tap on the damage portion, and it'll take that number and it'll add that to the damage. So you can just say, okay, I hit, you know, I missed. In the case, you hit nothing. So that's always useful. When it comes to the Federation Commander library, actually, there has been progress on that. I just have not been able to have a chance to actually process them so that they're available to the general public. And hopefully I'll maybe get something done this weekend. I'll have to wait and see. And with that, that is the news for this week. And it's me, it's the one and only Paul Friends, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, well, you just got me. We have problems with audio, and Barry left. Because he wasn't going to fight with it. And Lord knows, I find feeling I know why that's what the issue is. And Lord knows if this is the freaking issue, I'm not going to be happy at all. Which is that they require Google to do everything, which is a piece of freaking... Don't mind me. I'm not a happy camper when it comes to Google, because I do not like Google in any way, shape, or form. But I have to use Google services. If I could drop them off the face of the planet, I would. Unfortunately, I can't. Just like Facebook, I can't drop them just because of that's where everybody freaking is. I don't interact well. I don't interact on my own page. Well, not page, but I don't interact with... I don't post a lot on my main feed. So if you follow me, you ain't gonna... Actually, good luck. I think you can follow me without actually being my friend. That's possible. But if you do, if you're following me on Facebook and not friending me, then just follow, you're going to see nothing. Every once in a while I reply to something, but that's a rare thing. Most of my activity is in groups, and that's about it. I don't do much else in Facebook, and the only reason I'm there are for the groups. I'm there for my Starfleet Warlord group, SFB Online group, and now another group which I just signed up for. By the way, hey Chris. I've been working on some cleaning up the FedCom portion of the client. There have been some requests to make things a little closer to SFB, though I have to double check on certain things. As I mentioned to Sebastian, who asked for some of these features, going, you know, I can do some of those I cannot, because I don't even do those in SFB. I don't think I even do those in SFB, which is one of those is just on the launch, fire, that kind of mechanism. Yes, for launching and firing, yes, I actually will denote that, okay, you already fired or launched for that turn. Now, obviously, there are certain things that you can fire every impulse, i.e. the ad rack. So that's it's going to be red, but you're going to still be able to fire it. So, you know, if that's one of those rules that's like, okay, well, you can violate it. And again, it's going to be one of those things that, as I said with SFB, I will give you tools to help you not violate, but I still will let you violate, because that means I don't have to try to get the rules perfect. I can get them good, but they don't have to be perfect. You know, and obviously the one thing that, you know, I don't, when it comes to the tractor and transporter, is that I don't track phaser, yeah, phaser G2, Chris, yep. And of course, when it comes to the transporters and the tractors, I don't track those. I don't track those in SFB, if you know, if you use them or not. You know, it's one of those things that's not used. You know, I don't have a function for, because it's never been necessary. You know, the only thing I do track in the FedCom client, I do track whether you've actually used the transporter that turn, because of I think I have the rules right, because the way it works is that you only pay for transporters once. You use one transporter, then later on you use another transporter. The second time you use a transporter, you don't pay for it again. So, you know, that's the way I understand the rules. I've not actually double checked the rules on it, but I know that's the way the code has worked. And of course, every single turn it resets. But you know, I got that all working fine, you know, because there were some issues with using the transporters. You know, it wasn't removing the energy from it, and I caught myself again calling older APIs which are not working correctly. I finally said, okay, I got to remove this because this is not good. This should never be called ever. So the only way to make sure you don't ever call it, this doesn't exist. So I did that, and that fixes that up. Hey, Iggy. So that, of course, brings us to what is the topics for tonight? Well, the topics for tonight were going to be, actually, I had an idea, but that one went out the window when Barry left, because I was going to talk about the Designer's Edition again, but I wanted to have the idea was that I wanted to have his perspective on the changes to the Designer's Edition. That is what I was going for. And since I don't think Dave's here today, I don't see Dave. In fact, I know Dave's not here today. Which is different. I don't think, usually he tells me he's not going to be here. Oh well, doesn't matter. But okay, I was going to do the Designer's Edition and see what his perspective on the Designer's Edition is. So, obviously, without Barry here, that went out the window. So, don't mind me. I just realized I had the fan on, and Lord knows you probably can hear that in the recording. I apologize early on. I'll turn it off now so that we won't have problems in the future. This means I'm going to be a little warm in here. Which is fine, because I don't have air conditioning in the office, and that makes things easier because it's a lot quieter. Shocker. But anywho, given that, so actually I came up with an idea, and what I'm hoping is possibly Chris and Iggy might give me some ideas here. Is one of the things that came to my mind, because actually I was talking about this to my daughter, which was just stories. Because actually we were watching, episode 6. I'm pretty sure it's episode 6 of Mythic, season 2, Mythic, episode 6 of Mythic Quest. And it's, that episode is kind of a weird episode to be when you start off with, because you don't realize who these people are. At least I didn't remember, because one of the people is C.W. Longbottom, or Charles Longbottom. And so I didn't remember, because I'm really bad with names, that C.W. Longbottom, or Charles Longbottom, was actually a writer for Mythic Quest. He does all the background material. He writes, you know, background stories, continues, you know, the description, all that kind of things, because that's his job. And it was actually the interesting part about that episode. I'm just gonna talk about that just for a moment, which was I thought was cool, which was that, that's the whole idea that someone thought about, in this case, C.W. Longbottom, saw ping pong. You know, if you're, I'm not sure if anybody's ever actually played pong. If you ever play Pong, you're pretty old. You're like my age. If you say, what's Pong? Go home. Get off my lawn. But, you know, so is Pong, which is the first video game that you could get for the home. And he envisions basically a modern day MMRG, you know, first person shoot 'em up games, or but you know, with the whole story, the whole scenes and characters and so forth, you know. And he imagines this is basically in the 1970s, it's supposed to be going back in the 1970s, where he imagines this. And then the first reaction, and you can imagine today, if that actually happened to anybody, I'm not sure if anyone actually predicted video games. But first reaction was from these people who are these writers and also an editor. And he said, you're basically nuts. You know, TVs are, that's for the boob tubes. You know, they called them boob tubes back then. And they still, I still call it boob tube. Of course, these days, they don't have an actual tube anymore because it's an LCD display. So, boob means someone, basically, also they call it the idiot box. You know, boob or idiot. And because you just sat there and you stared, you know, and that was true because Lord knows the early, TV shows and so forth weren't the actual, the most engrossing, shows like they are today, where they actually have a story, which are going through for each episode. They're more episodic in that. You did an episode, you had an issue that needed to be that they had at the beginning, that was presented at the beginning of the show, and by the end of the show, it was resolved. Every once in a while, you get a two-parter. But that was it. Because of the whole idea is that you could replay, you wouldn't record, you'd record so many episodes, and then you could actually replay them on the off, basically the off, quote unquote, off season. So you're always having it, but every once in a while you would do reruns is what you do of those episodes. You know, and that'd be fine. Of course, then you had the whole like now you can play MASH, you can watch MASH. Okay, be syndicated. That's it. Syndicated. So, you know, which was, I thought was an interesting idea. At least the reaction, I thought was interesting because of it, you know, and basically Charles, Peter, and Anne, were they going to be these three? They were grow up and be these grand writers. And the only one that really had any real, real talent was Anne. She had the most talent of all of them. And then we find out that Peter marries Anne. And then Peter, basically we find out through the whole story. Actually, I've read. But anyway, you know, so there were three friends and then there was a fallout between them. And that's the conflict that is played forth in this episode. But the point was, me and my daughter were talking about how hard it is to write a story, you know, and writing a story with the characters and the background and all that. Cause Lord knows I suck at writing stories. I really do. Can I write down ideas? Yeah, I can write down ideas. I can write down designs. I can write down designs. Could I write up a scenario? Possibly. Minor bit of writing there, but you know, some background and things like that. I could set it up. You know, this is a little larger than what actually is happening in the scenario. You know, why does the scenario occur? You know, why is this lone ship out in the middle of space going from point A to point B? And all of a sudden, they run into, you know, this squadron of ships or something along those lines. You know, why are they out there, you know, out there, or why do they have to fight, you know? Because usually there's has to be a reason. Because, for example, let's say for a scenario, you've got one ship against three, big surprise, asymmetric. But the obvious, okay, what are, with that kind of asymmetric, the victory conditions are two different things. In that case, for the single ship, it might be just to escape going off like the opposite end of the board. Because of the key here is that he has to escape to tell whoever, you know, or get this person or whatever, or maybe in cargo, to this certain place. And that's the only reason he's even going to try to get around them, because it's time sensitive. So it's not like, instead of, oh, I see ships on the distance and I don't know if they're friendly or foe, so I'm going to turn away. Now, of course, if you think about that, if you have a squadron of ships and you have another ship that you see and it turns away from you, you're automatically going to go towards it. So, you know, it's one of those things that, so in other words, there'll be a conflict anyway, because they're going to try to stop them. So in the case of the squadron, it would be either capture or destroy the ship. And in the case of the other ship, it's just to escape, not to fight them. So in other words, you'd be fighting a delay. You know, delaying action. You know, you might be launching drones or plasma, whatever, seeking weapons you can, and you keep running. You don't try to face off with them, you know, because, you know, this is asymmetric. You will lose. You will lose in that kind of scenario. If it's one against three, is, though, depends upon the three. For all, if, you know, could be, you know, roving, PF squadron, which is basically taking in, patrol duty. You know, checking out, make sure they don't have any enemy ships, you know, trying to sneak through, because, you know, star bases can only do so much. They're a fixed position, and you might want to find out what's going on out there. There's only, the sensors could only be so sensitive at a star base, because you might even see a ship, but you don't know, is that a friend or foe? You don't know. Because Lord knows, if you think about it, in wartime, you don't want to have each star base to know everything about what is going to even go be close to it. Because if that star base is ever captured, that information is invaluable. Because I'm sure any one of you who's actually watched the Clone Wars, there was an episode where R2-D2, well, he gets captured. And why is he so valuable? Because instead of doing which is protocol, which is wiping the droid after each mission, he doesn't do that. Well, that, of course, R2-D2 has all this information, which the Empire is then interested in, because of it's got, you know, basically strategic plans for the rebels. And, you know, it's like, okay. Okay, not for the rebels, but actually, in that case, they're clones, so they're on the side of the Empire versus the, what the other side was called in the Clone Wars. I think it's the Alliance or something like that. But, you know, it's very, for the opposite side, it's very useful information. So, that's the whole same situation. If you capture a star base or any other base. Of course, my favorite star base, it was in the captain's log, and I'm sure Chris will remember it. probably better than I will remember. It's an older one, where basically, I think the title of the story was "Stand Until Relieved." So basically, stay there. Fight as best you can until you're relieved. Well, that just means that they're not going to help you. And the stand until relieved is interesting because basically the Starbase commander basically sets it up as a booby trap. Shuts down things, has all quiet. And then it was a battle station. Okay. Thanks, Chris. I know it was a base of some sort. I forget which kind. But thank you. And that one I thought was that was one of my favorites, just because of you don't realize what is going on until they get to the command center. The computers activate, fire control turns on. All of a sudden, all of the Phaser 4s, they fire on the ship and the ship's destroyed. Because of it's all friendly, the shields aren't up or anything like that, so it goes boom. And then the last, I think, if I recall correctly, the last line of it, and the dragon slumbers. In other words, all the systems then shut down again, and all is quiet for that battle station again until the next ship comes. Which then it's like, okay, well, they come here and they find a destroyed ship. It's like, okay, what happened here? And again, probably the battle station will be nice and quiet and probably do the same thing because no, there was no distress signal. Obviously, there was a distress signal for the battle station because of it's an automated message that gets sent out that, we're under attack, that SOS and so forth. But to me, that was a very, very, very interesting. It's one of my favorite stories in the captain's logs. Given that, what I was thinking about doing, and I'll see how well it goes, because we've got around 30 more minutes or so with the podcast. If it goes well, maybe we'll continue on at another time. If it doesn't go well, we can just say, okay, this was an experiment that failed. Because it's called being light on your feet. Because Lord knows, the whole reason my topic kind of went out the window when Barry went out the window. So, the idea here is to come up with an outline of a story. And doesn't have to be a complete story. Just have to be the idea here is to come up with some points, i.e., in the case of background material, characters, things like that. Because that was one thing I talked to my daughter about, and she said, "Oh, that she can't write." Well, I'm willing to bet she can write. She just needs to practice at it. But the one thing that she when she was younger. One thing she loved to do, so it was one of her favorite things to do of all times, is to basically create up characters and backstories, which I think would actually be fantastic if she did that, basically see if she could get hired by maybe a gaming studio. Maybe not as a graphical artist, though, that's what she was trained at, video and that kind of thing. But creating characters, whether it's a bit character, minor character that the players interact with, or even the players themselves, because the players themselves sometimes have backstories. If you've ever, I'm just remembering Three Moves Ahead, and the whole idea of some of the games that they play. Invariably, they'll have the whole one of the things that they point out that they want so much is the feeling of actually caring about the characters, of caring about the people that they are basically pushing around as their pawns. And I think that would be great for her, you know. I'm not sure if anyone's looking for that kind of thing, you know. And I know she might still have them. I know it was a Tumblr account. Like, I'd have to double check to see if she still has them. Because if I was her, I'd take them off Tumblr and put them someplace else so she have a stored collection. Because you never know when Tumblr might go bye-bye. And I'm not sure. She might have deleted her account by now. Or she might have forgotten what her account is. But anyway, okay. So maybe the chat room here can help me with some ideas. Because I'm open to it. But in the meantime, let me... Bah, bah, bah. Here. Okay. Dun, dun, dun. And what I'm not sure. Well, I think I'll do it this way. Let me go like this. Okay. And so that you guys can see this. Actually, I'm wondering. Let me just... Nah. Let's see if that will work. Bah, bah, bah. Bah, bah, bah. View. That's what I want. Full screen. Okay. Let's see how that all works out. Okay, cool. I just want to make sure that you guys could actually see this. That's weird. Okay, so I was going to say. Wrong. So. Let's call it new story. I'm not worried about titles, because you create a title there's two different ways I feel like that you could do a story. You can create a title and then try to base a story after the title, which I think is backwards. Or you can create the story and then from the story, you can then say, okay, what does fits this beautiful story they created? You know, maybe there's a point in the story where it's like, okay, I know what the title is going to be. And then so that you have, because after you've got a good structure in place, then you can go for there. Now, I am not a writer. So if I got it all wrong, please tell me. Feel free to criticize me in any way, shape, or form, because I am not a writer, again. But I figured this might be a cool exercise for tonight to, obviously, we already have some of the background material. But, okay. So, we're going to start, okay. Guys, in the chat room, can you read what I'm writing? Because if not, I will see if I can think about. There, I think. Okay, that looks a little better. I think that might be a little bit more viewable. Okay, I think I can read that much better now. I have my iPad right here, so I can see what it is on the screen. Now. Okay, back. Okay, we already have some part of the background material, because background is definitely going to be SFU. It's going to be Starfleet Universe. Okay, that's a pretty broad stroke right there, but it does give us certain things that we already know about. We know, okay, basically it's kind of Star Trek. It's Star Trek based, so we know some of the technology that's available. You know, the transporters, tractors, warp ships that do have warp drive. Now, it doesn't mean that, obviously, within Andromedans, they have other ways of movement, like the Rin, if I recall correctly, that's correct, the Rin, they have a way of moving, which wasn't it was using transport technology to go from one point to, you know, boom, 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 boom. So doesn't mean you, it has to be only by, you know, movement through space through using warp technology. But we'll stick with that at the moment, so it's not too far out there. Another, actually, background material. So, where is this? Is this in the Federation? Is it in the Klingon Empire? Is it in the Hydran Empire? Is it Romulans, Gorns, ISC? Forget ISC. I think about ISC and go, no, no. Just because of, I understand ISC would be kind of interesting in that ISC has so many different races that make up the Empire that it can make things very interesting. Of course, the problem is I don't know much about those races, so ISC goes out the window. Obviously, the easiest one is it's one for the Federation, possibly the Klingons, possibly the Lyrians or Zinni, possibly the Gorns. Those are relatively, possibly even the Tholians. Though the toughest part about, in my mind, of having this, the characters be Tholian, because I'm assuming that it's a story about the war. Now the question is, or maybe let's start with something small. You know, a particular, I'm not gonna say a whole battle, I'm gonna say a mission at the moment. It's a small, you know, let's start small. Chris, that would not surprise me. Chris is saying there's, of the capsule number 35, there's only one story with Hydran characters. Is that the one with the Masters? And that one, I think the Hydrans were mentioned, but that's about it for that one. But I don't, I know there's one, yeah, there's definitely was one where they actually had Hydrans. Okay. Yeah. With the ones with the Masters in it, the Hydran was mentioned, but never ever seen. So it wasn't kind of an active character. So let's give a good one for. Okay. Got an idea. The question is, okay, well, actually, what I'm thinking about is Federation. That's a question. I was thinking about the Federation / Klingon DMZ. You know, this is before the General War started, is the whole idea. But the problem is, a lot of stories actually have that as a backdrop, which is the Federation Klingon DMZ. So that leaves, if I want to use the Federation, that means either Federation Klingons or possibly Federation Tholian. Possibly. But there's no reason for the Federation to, there is one possibility with, if you go for the comes to Federation Tholian, which is the Federation just not attacking the Tholians, but investigating the Tholians. What are they doing? Because they're all closed up to themselves. They don't want, you know, they really don't want to chat with anybody. You know, they don't want to be alliance with anybody. They just want to be off to themselves. Leave them alone. That's what they want. Which is. That's to me, when it comes to the Tholians, the Tholians always were interesting to me in that, okay, the Tholians come to from their home galaxy to the Milky Way. Okay, they make it, they have to really, you know, they do, it takes a long time. They have to basically, use some ships for parts to get them there. Now, the one thing that always is funny to me is that they come to the Milky Way, basically take up residence. No one really notices at first, anyway. But the thing that really I always found interesting about the Tholians was that the Tholians come with some advanced technology. Got the web generators, which, you know, obviously until the Neo-Tholians come, they're not much use. When it comes when the Neo-Tholians come, now there's a real threat. You know, because the webs at that point, with the web generators, they're definitely a defensive only weapon. You can't use them for offense. It's not until the Neo-Tholians come that you can actually use the web for offensive movement. But they have this advanced technology in the case of the phaser ones, which in theory, if you think about this for a moment, in theory, the phaser ones aren't phaser ones. Because the phaser ones that the Tholians had are kind of, they're more advanced. They come at a point in time when there were no phaser ones, basically. You know, but the Tholians come with these advanced weapons, and unfortunately, I guess the reasoning behind it is that basically you've got civilians who don't know how to actually build ships. They don't have to design ships. They have automated factories which can build the ships, and that's how they create things like the destroyer, where they attach multiple of these kind of PC hulls together to create another ship, a larger ship. But other than that, they can't advance the technology that they're there for decades. Which to me just seems weird. I mean, that no one could figure out in decades how to improve the technology which they had in their hands for longer than them. And as I pointed out, the phaser ones aren't phaser ones. At least to me, they can't be phaser ones. They can't be the same because they're from another galaxy. It's just like when they mention about the Andromedas and the phaser twos. The phaser twos aren't phaser twos. Phaser twos, they call them phaser twos for the Andromedans because they're a close simile to a phaser two. Then, and I'm assuming, my assumption there is that the Tholians, same way. They come to this galaxy with these looks like phasers, but they're not really phasers. They're a close approximation to phasers, which is interesting. Of course, because it would be really weird if they actually created phasers in a galaxy far, far away. And yes, and they come in and they they don't, you know, and they don't improve it, you know. But anyway, it would be very strange if a galaxy far away they create phaser ones, and then we create phaser ones, and they go, hey, they're the same. That would be very, very weird. It's just like, actually, you really think about it. The phaser ones that are Klingon phaser ones and the phaser ones that are Federation phaser ones, I'm willing to bet you that, yeah, they might use the same base technology, but they have their own little quirks. You know? It's like building a Ferrari versus a Lamborghini. They're both high-performance cars. They both have engines in them, but I'm willing to bet those engines are built quite a bit differently. You know, they all have their little quirks. But anyhow, okay. So what the heck? I kind of like that idea. So let's say Federation Tholian border. It's going to be the back. It's going to be part of the background. This is going to be something that's going to be happening on the Federation Tholian border. Now, I don't remember. And if you guys could help me out here, that'd be great. Which is, I don't remember if the Federation ever set up any battle stations along the Tholian border. Or did they just trust the Tholians not to be aggressive? You know, basically, trust that what they understand of the Tholians, that the Tholians are just going to not do anything. They're not going to attack. My guess is, no. I'm sorry. If you're not going to talk to us and you just want to be left alone, that's fine. But at the same time, we can't trust you. You know, heck, I'm not sure if when it comes to the border with the Gorns, if they actually had a battle station, or not along the Federation border with them, you know. But even if they don't have battle stations, they at least have some base stations, some outposts, because Lord knows. We all know that one of the things that the Klingons and the Romulans did is they would skirt basically the border between the Federation and the Tholian border to get around the Tholians. The idea was that that's one way of they could, one, support each other when it comes to ships and logistics, and a way also communicating. From long distances, which is always an interesting thing you think about interstellar space. And, you know, the idea of communicating through, because that's one thing that they're explaining in Star Trek, is how does the Enterprise, which is many hundreds of light years away, possibly thousands of light years away, how does it communicate back home? You know, even if we say there's a time delay, how does it do it? You know, what is the quote unquote technology that should be able to do this? I don't know, because as I mentioned before, there's this one sci-fi where what they did was they used messenger drones, which would go through these warp points, bump, 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 and to carry messages. And it was a completely automated system. They even had you'd have an actual base of these. What it would do is to take the messenger drones, automated way of taking the messages, take the contents of the messenger drone, put another messenger drone, and then send it all its merry way. You know, and it'd be very secure when it did that. Anyway, okay, so SFU, Federation border. So, what's going to be the story? Okay, so we got those 2 points. So, let's go characters. So, and it's going to be a short story, possibly even, you know, something that could fit into the captain's log, possibly create into a scenario, because it's going to be a captain's log you have to create a scenario for. And that is, when I'm thinking of the basis of the story, the general outline, thing of the story is that, okay, it's a background, because the story I want to tell let's go with a general story at the moment, because I got an idea, which is, because it's a mission. Cross, oh, it's only 1C. Okay, cross. Federation mission across the Tholian border to investigate. Yeah, close enough. Tholians. I misspelled this. Tholians. Basically, the idea is that, okay. Say Commodore. Captain Wine and his team to secretly get intel on the phone. So the idea of the story, to start off with, at least the basic idea of the story, which of course there's a lot of details that still need to be put into this, but the idea is that there's Commodore X, however his name is going to be, sends Captain Y and his team across the Tholian border on a secret mission. The whole idea is you cannot be caught by the Tholians. You have to somehow to secretly cross into Tholian territory. And find out as much about the Tholians as possible without having them know who you are. You know? Obviously, in theory, you could try to pay the Orions to do this, which is something that is going to probably be brought up in the conversations between the characters. Why do we have to send a team? Aren't the Tholians our allies? And they say, well, they're not really our allies, but they just want to be left alone, things like that. That's part of the whole conversation that leads them, to it. And of course, part of the general story is going to have to be, okay. So now we know what the team Captain Wyatt and is going to be doing, which they're going to be going across the border to investigate trying to get intel on the Tholians. Now, obviously, there's going to have to be someone higher up than the Commodore to say, okay, we need to have more intel on the Tholians. The question: how far up do we go? Do we go all the way up to the Senate? I think it's the Senate. I have to look into a little more about the governance of the Federation. But the whole idea being that, we can't trust the Tholians. We can't trust what they're saying. They're saying, "I'll just leave us alone." But the Tholians are being very secretive about what their plans are. They say, "Just leave us alone." Well, that's fine and all, but how do we know that you're not saying, "Leave us alone, so we can cook up this crazy plan about taking over this galaxy, because we're from another galaxy. So we want this galaxy to be ours. We want to remake this galaxy into the way ours was, where we were top dogs," which at this point they don't know. You know, no one knows, because at this point, you know, no one knows the history of the Tholians. So they just know that they are refugees from another galaxy. That's all they would know. Or at the very least, they know they're extragalactic in nature. And everything else would have to be supposition. You know, do we know they're... Well, at the same time, if they said they're refugees, can we believe them that they're refugees? We don't know. And that's why we need to send people in across the Tholian border on a secret mission that's supposed to be really hush-hush, you know, so much so that it's... What might happen is that Admiral Z S Commodore X to send a team. Senate / governmental body does not know about this. The idea is that the admiral, and probably talking with other admirals, they kind of agree that, how do we know that they're purely a passive race? How do we know that the Tholians aren't going to someday attack? You know, they don't know. And they want to find out what are their capabilities. What you know, how many, how not, they might have know how many initially, but they want to at least know more information. That's because let's start small. Let's start, you know, cross the border. Let's see what we can find about what they've set up so far. You know, try to get as far as you can into Tholian territory that, you know, where you think, as safe as possible. Because if you think at some point that the jig is up, you want to get out of there and get back so you can relay the information. Back to his higher ups, you know, Captain Y. So now, so we have a general story, a general outline of a story here, in my mind. And I said this is a short story. You know, this is not long, obviously. If this was going to be a novel, the whole idea is you have a lot of this, you know, a whole, you're talking about the context of prepare, you know, the possibility of war. You know, even if we're not attacking anyone, no one's attacking us, we need to be preparing for the possibility of war, or at the very least have the intel. So if war does break out, we're not caught with our, you know, caught off guard. So, and that's one of the things of this is, and that could be obviously a larger novel about this, and this is just one aspect to it. You know, obviously some of the characters was already identified. Commodore X, Captain Y. And see, obviously, some of the characters you have to expand on is like the team. You know, Captain Y's team. Who makes up the team? Obviously, the team's going to need to be small. So, and the question, and of course, after we come up with what his team is, if the people that are going to be making up his team, what are their background material? What's their background story? Maybe that, you know, that it comes, this is always the most difficult part in my mind about background story. When it comes to writing, you can, in theory, there's a certain amount of leeway you can get where you actually can write out a person's backstory to a certain degree. You don't want to put too much in there, because the whole idea of a story is that you want to develop this affinity to the characters. And the way you do that is not a whole brain dump of like, here's the big background story for this character. The idea is that you discover the background of this character from interactions with the different characters to a certain degree. Obviously, in some cases it's just flat out because we're writing this. This is not a screenplay. So a screenplay, you're limited in that regard, which in my mind is where screenplays lose some of the things that you can do in an actual written book. A written book, you actually can go and say, okay, this is some background for this person, you know, that grew up, you know, with, you know, poor on the farm, you know, back on Earth, you know, in the middle of Ohio, what once was called Ohio. Whatever. But that's certain things that you can get away with in a book. You can't do in screenplay. In screenplay, there has to be more interaction between like two characters, maybe more characters, so that is discovered through that interaction. You know? So there's a big difference between, that's why there's a big difference between a screenplay and a novel or a story. You know, a story, you can get away with describing a lot more background material in a short period of time, which is why if you ever looked at some of the book to movie conversions where they have a screenplay, the screenplay itself, they have to chop things out. Why? Because of, to have it so that actually is explained is a lot longer. You know, actually the funny part is that, you know, they're coming out with Dune very soon. I'm not sure how soon. But, you know, I saw a trailer for another version of Dune. And I heard someone comment about that. And the one thing that I think they got right is, Dune is not a movie. Dune is a series. Because there's so much material there, so much story there, that can't even be done like a 2 or 3 hour movie. It has to be done, 8 to 16 hours of viewing, to possibly longer, to tell the full story that's in the books. So, anyhow, I think I will wrap up for the evening. You know, this is a start. Now, you know, we might continue on this or not, but it's not, you know, I like the general start of our story. So with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.